From Acts chapter 5, verse 1 and following, a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge, he kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter asked, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God." Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard of it. The young men came in and wrapped up his body. Then they carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, so they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard of these things. This is the word of the Lord. Yesterday I saw one of my old, or I guess I should say former, not old, but I'm getting older every day. One of my old Ole Miss football teammates, Charles Childers. Many of us know Charles that grew up in this community. And as I was walking by and going the other direction, on the back of my shirt from Blue Mountain College, it said these words, "Go Big Blue." Well, many of you know that Blue Mountain College was not the first institution of higher education to implement those words. No, they're made famous by the University of Michigan. And Charles, as I was walking by, said, "Jody, where did you get that Michigan shirt?" Then I turned around, revealing that it was a Blue Mountain College shirt. And I said what he was thinking as well. We don't like thinking about Michigan, us Ole Miss Rebels, especially those Ole Miss Rebels that played against the University of Michigan in 1992. We played in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida. They beat us 35-3, and it wasn't even that close. I told Charles, I don't like remembering. He agreed. But one fond memory I do have of that trip is they treated us like royalty. They do that on those bowl games. You get to eat at all these nice places, go to entertainment venues. You know, they even took us to a Greyhound racetrack. Now, they didn't let us bet on it or anything, but they fed us all this good food and let us be entertained. And some of you, now this is church, but it's not a moment of confession. Some of you may have partaken in one of those Greyhound dog racing tracks before. If you hadn't, let me tell you how it works. They get these lightning fast dogs and they turn them loose and they chase this. What is it they chase? Anybody know? I'm setting you up for confession again. No, they chase this mechanical rabbit all around the track, right? It's not even real. And those dogs run and snarl and slobber, and they just can't wait to catch that rabbit. But they never do. I've thought about those greyhounds a lot over the years. And not long ago, just a couple of months ago, Manya, Noah, and I and the family were up at Kentucky Lake at my niece Montana's home. And I saw one of those greyhound dogs. And man, that thing was running around out there on the grounds near Kentucky Lake. And every once in a while, it would slow down and lay down. and he would play with the kids who were now part of his family. I even saw that old greyhound laying down once, and one of the kids using him for a pillow, the other one tugging on his tail. Later on, a day or so later, I went for a walk, and I came upon that greyhound, just me and him. So I decided to have a conversation. I said, "You know, I saw that you were running around with the kids. Did you used to race?" He said, "Oh yes, I raced a long time." I asked, "Do you miss it?" "No, I don't miss it at all." I said, "Well, why don't you miss it? Why'd you give it up? Did you get hurt?" He said, "No, I still had a lot of racing left in me. I still felt good." I said, "Well, tell me this. Were you not very good at it?" He said, "Yes, I was great." He said, "My owners won over $1 million through me as their racing dog." I said, "Well, I just don't understand. Why aren't you still racing?" He said, "I quit." "You quit?" I asked. He said, "I quit." I asked, "Well, why did you quit?" And he said, "I quit because one day I finally realized that what I was chasing wasn't even real. All that running. And what I was after wasn't real." You know, I think about that story, and it places before me, and perhaps all of us today, the question: what are we chasing? And maybe even the deeper question following that: not only what are we chasing, but is it real? You know, our scripture today is a troubling text for me, perhaps for you. One that I have a hard time understanding why God would have come down so hard upon Ananias and Sapphira. Why would these two members of the early church have died as they witnessed their betrayal right in front of Peter? You know, things that I see present in our scripture today that are sometimes easily overlooked is the depths of Ananias and Sapphira's turning from God. You know, what I hear in this text is there are three commandments that Ananias and Sapphira failed to observe. Commandment 8, Commandment 9, Commandment 10 that God had given to His church, to His people of faith, to embody and reflect His love and to build community with them. Commandment 8 is do not steal. Peter says to us that Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't just hold back some of their offering, but they had pledged it all to God. He said it was yours to do what you wanted to until you gave it to God. And when you said you were going to give it to all to God, then you were stealing when you didn't give it all to God. And then next, Peter says this. He said, "You didn't lie to me. You didn't lie to the church. You lied to God." You see, that's the 9th commandment that God gives us. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Be truthful in our relationships, in our activity with one another. Yes, in business, but also in our family and how we engage and conduct ourselves with others. The truth that Scripture says will indeed set us free. But lastly, and perhaps the greatest peril facing Ananias and Sapphira in our text today, is their coveting. You know, I titled our sermon today, "Keeping Up with the Barnabases." Many of us are familiar with that saying, "Keeping up with the Joneses." And you know, what I found in my journey in life is that's when I really get in trouble. when I try to do things to impress others, to keep up with others. Have y'all ever known this? I heard a person say once, they asked, they said, why do we spend so much time buying things we don't need, spending money on stuff that we don't need to impress people we don't even like? Wow. I'm guilty at times. I'm guilty at times. Now, as Christian people, in the name of Jesus, we know we're called to love everyone. But there are some that we have challenges in liking, right? And Barnabas was a wonderful example of faith. If anybody should have been liked and admired in the first century church, it was Barnabas. But you know where I think Ananias and Sapphira got in trouble is they liked him so much. Perhaps his popularity so much that they wanted what Barnabas had. And in the process, it seemed they sold their very souls, their very place in the church. They were so hungry to keep up with what Barnabas was doing that they failed with the simplest actions of faith. You know, I remember several years ago, some of you may have seen a TV commercial. It was on by a man would come onto the screen, he would have this brilliant smile on his face, and he'd start by saying, "Hi, I'm Stanley Johnson." And then he would go through this list. He'd say, "Do you like my home? We have a 4-bedroom home in a great neighborhood. How about my car? Do you like my car? It's new." And then it goes on through the commercial, and Stanley says, "I'm even a member of the local golf club. How do I do it all? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs." He said, "I can hardly even pay my finance charges. Can somebody help me?" You see, those are the traps that we all face at times. When we are tempted, perhaps like Ananias and Sapphira, to reach out for things, to impress others that we don't even need. That's what it means, it seems, to covet, to yearn to be and to have what others have, even if we don't need it. But you know, I think the root of the problem with Ananias and Sapphira wasn't so much that they lied. Perhaps even the fact that they stole from God wasn't the worst. Maybe even the fact that they were coveting from Barnabas wasn't the worst. No, I think the root of the problems for Ananias and Sapphira were that they were making an idol out of things. An idol out of popularity. An idol out of impressing others. An idol out of their wealth. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tempted to make idols out of a lot of things. Perhaps that's why God begins his commandments after saying, "I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me, and don't make idols." See, friends, it's a reminder to us that this was such a critical venture in the early church, that God wanted to set the precedence that we as people of faith shall not be consumed with impressing those around us, but maybe most importantly, to serve our Holy Father above. Surely that's why Jesus said, when asked what the greatest commandment was, he proclaimed to love the Lord your God, not with some of your heart, but with all your heart. Not with a portion, but all of your soul. Not with just partial thinking, but your entire mind. Friends, that's where we began as a church. That was the essence of the New Testament congregation. And surely those lessons rang true for us today, that our life our joy, our happiness as a family, as a people of faith, as a worship community is rooted in our love and worship of God alone. See, the saying goes like this. You can't teach old dogs new tricks. But I'm convinced that old greyhound a month or two ago reminded me a lesson that we all must face daily. What are we chasing? What are we chasing and putting in place of God? What are we hoping for our happiness? Is it our job? Is it our power? Our wealth? What are we putting in the place of God to give us what only God can? When we surrender, we as His people know the fullness of joy and life found in the Savior. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You. And we praise You that life in You is not so much about us or in keeping up with others, but in surrendering our idols at the throne of Your grace and praising and growing more in Your image. Help us, O God, to surrender more fully daily what we are chasing that is taking us further from You. And at the same time, help us to follow more closely Your path as You lead us on the right road to joy, life, and love more fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.